Welcome to the Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm your host, Nadine Mullings. I'm an author, speaker, and marketing mentor. I believe in the importance of women of faith in business stepping up and shining in their lane so they can have the impact, influence, and income they were born to make. Join me to hear the stories of powerful women of faith who are using their purpose-driven businesses to make a difference in the world. Hello and welcome to this episode of Women Faith Plus Business Podcast. I'm super excited for my guest today, Laura. Laura is a cradle Catholic. She and her husband of 31 plus years have three children, recently adding an amazing son-in-law and beautiful daughter-in-law to their ever-growing family. A former Catholic educator, she co-founded Encounter Grace, a Catholic Christian women's ministry that offers online and in-person events for women who want to grow in their faith, making deep abiding connections, journeying together in sainthood. In addition to running Encounter Grace, Laura is a speaker and writer, retreat leader, strategist, and mentor. Topics that are near and dear to her heart center around living an authentic life in the faith, cultivating a prayer life, and encouraging women and men to tell their stories about their lives in the faith, both the beautiful and the messy parts. I love that. Laura Rowland, welcome to the show.
Nadine. Wow. Could you just like be my introducer like every time? Sure. I want to talk to me now. It sounds, you're just like so great. It's beautiful.
You're great. It's your bio. You are great. Accept it and walk in it.
I'm gonna. A challenge accepted for that. So thank you, Nadine. It's so good to see you and to talk with you today. I can't wait to dive into all the topics.
All the things, right? Yes, definitely. Anything else you'd like to add to your bio?
I think the only other thing that maybe people might want to know about me is that my husband and I tend to move a lot. We're not military. We're not anything like that. So we're getting ready in the next 2 weeks for our fourth move in 7 years.
Wow.
So we have gotten it down to, down to minimalist. And so we're excited. We're going to move a little bit closer to one of our children and sort of just go from there. So I'm looking forward to new faces and new places coming up. So
yeah, I love that. That's actually a really interesting fun fact about you. Seeing that you guys are not military, what spurs all these moving in such a short space of time? Because when I think about moving, I think about the hassle, right? Packing everything up, having to, clear everything out, usually throwing things. It just seems like a lot. So how are you guys doing that?
Yeah, when our youngest went off to college back in 2014, we decided to sell the house and we wanted to downsize. And so that was the impetus for the first move. And we moved into, we moved to Washington, D.C. and we were right downtown. We wanted to try city living for a little while and we loved it. And then last year we just decided to move back down to a small town. And my mom lives here. So we wanted to be near my mom for a little bit. And then this next move to, we're moving to Raleigh, North Carolina. So hang on, North Carolina, we're coming your way. is actually for my husband's work. So it's a blessing. And we're just excited. Like I said, we'll be near one of my kids down in North Carolina. So I'm really excited for that. That'll be great.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's always a good reason, whether it's downsizing, being close to family or work opportunities, right? It's always Absolutely. A good reason to move.
Yeah. And we've positioned ourselves with the way we live that we can pack up and move. We don't have a lot of stuff. So that's a good thing for us to be able to just be able to go. Very freeing. It really is.
And I think that's good, that minimalist lifestyle. I think it's kind of like popular now, right? Living in the tiny houses, minimizing things, not hoarding a lot of things and taking up a lot of space. So you guys are on trend.
Thank you. All right. I feel validated now.
You are so welcome. So as you know, this podcast is all about women, faith, plus business. And business is not easy, right? There's lots of ups, there's downs. It's definitely a journey. So I would love for you to share with the audience what your business journey has been like, and specifically what made you start your own business. So take us along the journey of your business journey.
My business journey started, I didn't even know I wanted to open a small business for myself. I was a Catholic educator and had been in the classroom. And then I worked on an administrative team for a high school. And then I moved to the central office in Washington, D.C. and worked my way up through that and eventually ended up as an assistant superintendent. So that was my career path, throughout my almost my whole life, my adult life. And in 2018, I woke up one morning and it had really been on my heart, this idea of how do we connect people, women specifically, with one another. I was craving some community and I wasn't finding a community that fit my needs. A woman of in the stage of life that I am, not necessarily a season, but definitely the stage of an empty nester. I kind of looked around and I was like, there's not a lot here that's kind of feeding my soul. And I have a dear friend, her name is Penny. And I called her one day and I said, I have this on my heart. I don't know what this means. And she said, I've had something on my heart too, right? So never be afraid to have a conversation. It may sound crazy in your head, but somebody else has got sort of, they're going to journey with you through all of this. And so we met and we said, what could we do? What do we think? And we said, well, why don't we just kind of, we both like to throw a party. Why don't we just sort of have a party where we invite our friends and we see if they want to come. And so that was the beginning of Encounter Grace. We just decided that we wanted to provide authentic opportunities for women in faith, of faith, learning about their faith, trying to get back to their faith, just those authentic opportunities for them to come together and meet one another and connect. So we're all about that connection. So that was sort of the impetus for it. And then, I had the bandwidth at that point to sort of do the back end of things. So I researched, how do you start a business? Every place that we've moved, I've had to, change the business and, license it in the state that we've been in, getting ready to do that again. So that part of it was really interesting to me, to uncover the process and how you actually open a small business, and what the legal requirements and all that. So finding people to help me with that was really important for me. And I had to learn to ask a lot of questions because I didn't know. And you have to be humble enough to say, this is not my area of expertise. And you have to surround yourself with really good people who are willing to help you and sort of make that journey to launch your business. I still feel sometimes like there's so much that I don't know as a small business owner. And but I just have found that there really are some amazing people. And I found that through networking. Both online networking and then also in-person networking. So today Encounter Grace does both online and in-person events. And we're getting ready to shift again because I'll take on much more of the online stuff when I move. And I still do all the behind the scenes thing. And then my business partner, Penny, will continue to do the in-person events here in Maryland where we live. And that's a big step for her. So she's stepping into her giftedness and I'm stepping into mine in a different way. So 3 years later, we grew in ways we didn't know we were going to grow. And that's been really a beautiful journey.
Yeah, I love your story. I love the fact that God really impressed upon your heart, right? You were impressed upon your heart, and He tends to do that to us, right? Pulling at our heartstrings, that desire of something's missing, and He pulls on that heartstring, and you pay attention to that. And then you felt like, okay, there's a need for this community, right? And you said, let me reach out. And you ended up having a collaboration, which I believe God has divine collaborations for us, right? We are divinely connected to collaborate, to do His work in the marketplace. So reaching out to Penny and her saying, I kind of was feeling the same way. So it was obviously divinely connected for you guys to collaborate and start this journey together and start this effort together. And community is so important. And knowing that as you've gone through this journey, because it's definitely a lifelong learning journey as entrepreneurs and business owners, you're both stepping into your gifting in different ways, you know, whether it's the in-person events or the online events, which I'm excited about because you leading up the online events will probably give me an opportunity to be more involved in the events because obviously I can't be there in person. So I'm excited about that direction that you guys are going to be going in. So yeah, I really loved all the aspects starting from your career path all the way to this business ownership that God is leading you. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when and why did you decide to open up about your faith on your business platform? This is something that, you know, as Christians, as believers, some people decide that they kind of don't want to necessarily be open about those things on their business platform, but you're very open about it for the work that you do. So what did that look like for you? What was the process of being open on your business platform about your faith?
Sure. So I'll start. I'm going to go to my way back machine sort of. And when I first started in education, I started as a college professor. So I taught at a local community college and very secular, very whatever. But I found that, you know, when you are walking in faith, there is something different about somebody that's walking in faith. It's the way we interact with people. It's the way that we have there's just something different. There's a lightness about people. I'm hoping people will understand what I'm talking about, and I had several students would say to me, "Oh, I saw you're wearing, you know, a Mary necklace. What is that? I don't know what that is. I don't mean to offend you, but what is that?" And so it was just these little pockets of opportunities where if they had a question, I would answer it. And I always say, you know what? I don't know about the faith that could fill an ocean. Right. So if I couldn't answer a question, I at least was honest with them. I'm like, no, but I'm going to get back to you on that. You know, like we can have another conversation. And so I think it's just part of who I am as a person. The first thing in my bio is I'm a cradle Catholic Christian, you know, so I'm a believer and I live my life that way. And so it was a natural progression for me when I worked in the Catholic education system. Obviously we talk about God all throughout the day. But then the students really were interested in my relationship with God. They're like, wait a minute, God talks to you? Like, how do you know this? Like, how do you hear God? And so just those little curiosity points. So not only teaching the faith, but really I had to walk my faith out loud so the students could see it and I could model it. And it's imperfect. It's messy and chaotic at times. It's inconsistent sometimes. But what the kids saw was an authentic way that faith could be, is very approachable. Like, oh, it's just part of who you are. It's not a separate piece of you. It's an integrated, you're a whole person with this. And then when we set up Encounter Grace, it was specifically to minister, it absolutely was a ministry specifically for women. That's where I feel called. Not that I don't love men. I'm married to one. I got two boys. I got a son-in-law, but women sort of, I get them. And so you got to know your lane. You got to know like who your people are. Right. And, but what I find is that I'm not one to really go up and approach other people and sort of evangelize and say, hey, you know, can I pray with you? Can I do all these things? That's not how I operate, but Penny does. And she's a beautiful evangelizer. So seeing her giftedness, she reaches more people in that way. I reach more people in the online way, but we both live our faith out loud. You'll probably see on my computer screen here, those of you that I've got stickers all over my computer that are, you know, faith stickers. And, you know, so I'm sitting in Panera or I'm sitting in, you know, wherever, and inevitably somebody will come over and they'll be like, I love that sticker of, you know, the Sacred Heart. Where did you get that? And that's it. That's just a little, you know, thing. So I think we just have to for me, it's a question of, it's just who I am. And so I sort of just walk that journey. I just sort of walk that out loud in the public square, so to speak. That's what I have found for us, that that's worked. And we hope to continue to do those kinds of things. But it all comes back to that authenticity.
Yeah, I love that. It's who you are. You can't separate it because it is a part of who you are. And it is a process, right? Not only were you teaching it, but you're walking in it. As imperfect as that walking may be, you're walking in it. And you don't have to be, like your gifting, like you said, does not have to be evangelism, like Penny, because we're all gifted in different ways. You know, whether it's the teaching gift, the evangelistic gift, the prophesizing gift. We're all gifted, have spiritual gifts in different ways. So not having that main gifting of evangelism, but having subtle evangelism, subtle ways in which you're reaching people is key. You know, it's really key. Yeah. So you don't feel like, well, why don't I have that spiritual gifting? Yeah. It might not be your dominant spiritual gifting, but you're still walking in that in some way subtly, if it's not your dominant spiritual gifting. So I love that part of what you mentioned and what you shared. So that's so true. And I love the fact, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. But I love that phrase, Nadine. I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. It's a subtle, it's a subtle use of the gift.
Yes.
And it is, we have to use our gifts in the way that we are wired to use them. Exactly. Otherwise it's not authentic. And so this idea, you know, I think often, about women who are in the workplace, they're working in the secular world, and who are women of deep faith, and how do they share that, and what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And so just that encouragement of think about how you subtly do that. Is it just a quick grace before meal? Is it you stop to pray, you know, with a coworker if something's going on, you know, any of those kinds of things. So that's going to give me something to think about.
Yeah, I love that.
No, I do.
And I think subtly is really just being, right? The doing is when you're showing up in your spiritual gifting by doing the things, like Penny does the evangelism. But when you're just being who God created you to be, you're subtly walking in that spiritual gifting. You don't have to try. You're kind of just being Laura. And in being Laura, you're subtly evangelizing, right? So I think sometimes the spiritual gifting is the difference between doing the spiritual gifting and being the spiritual gifting, if that makes any sense. But yeah, no, I love that. So as we all know, business has its ups and downs. It's slightly a roller coaster that we've all agreed to be on as entrepreneurs and business owners. So we definitely have our ups. We definitely have our downs. We have our mountaintop moments, and we have our valleys. So I would love for you to share about a time in your business in which things were really great. It was a mountaintop moment, that up in your business, and how you know God played a role in that up. And then the other side of the coin, if you can share with the audience a down and how God assisted in the downside, because as we said, business is a roller coaster ride. You will have ups, you will have downs, you will have the peaks and the valleys. So tell us a time in your business when you had a specific up and how God played a role in that up.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for us, the idea of it being up was, we really stretched ourselves the first year that we were in business to offer solely in-person events. And so there is the part of the event, which is, you know, we get the speakers and it's the day of, and we have all the things going, and that's like all this great energy. But then there's all the behind the scenes things that take place with that. And anybody that's an events person will understand exactly what I'm talking about. And so the first event that we did was, it was called Reconnect, and we had an evening event, and we said, we're going to go bigger, we're going to go home, because we just wanted this to be, to sort of set the tone for what we were going to do and who we were. We want women to feel known, seen, and loved at every event, whether it's online or an in-person thing that we do. That's our goal. If women can walk away feeling that way, we have done what God asked us to do. And so this very first event we had, we brought in a speaker and who's a friend of mine, and then also a musician who's also a friend of mine. So called in some favors, and we held it at a local, not in a church. We didn't want it affiliated with any particular church. We wanted it, you know, for everybody to feel like we're all equal, like nobody's parish is better than anybody else's, you know? And I tell you what, a week before the event, we had 10 people signed up. And I tend to start to want to pull the plug on things at that point. I'm like, this isn't working. Obviously, we misheard something. I tend to always feel like I didn't do something right. You know, that's just my default. Like, what didn't I do right? You know, I never look at what I did well, right? I'm growing, but that's still a thing. And so Penny being Penny, she's like, we're just going to pray. We haven't prayed about this enough. We offered it up and we did. And the next day we got registration after registration. We ended up with a waiting list. And to this day, the women will still talk about, they walked in and it was candles on the table and tablecloths and just like this really lovely music playing in the background. And we had wine for them and we had, you know, a really nice meal, beautiful speaker, beautiful music. And they still had the gift bags. We're sort of known for our goodie bags now that's a hard thing to continue to do. It's like, how do we outdo those gift bags? And, you know, but to me, that was sort of like, we really did go big and we didn't have to go home. We really set the bar high and we worked really hard to make that happen. And now that's really where we are. That's like the minimum that we want to do when women come to our events. So I think that was a really big thing for us. And it gave us that confidence that we were on the right track, that women really did want what we were offering and that there really was a need. And so we took that and sort of said, okay, we're on the right track with this. What do we do next? So that was our high. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that high because events are difficult. You guys are in a difficult space as far as events, whether it's online events or offline events. It's always difficult to promote, to get people there. As the industry would say, get butts in seats, even though I hate that terminology. Yes. It's a difficult thing. So I love the part of the story where you said, you know, at that moment when you looked and the registrations were just at 10, you're like, and, you know, we've all been there. We've had those moments of just wanting to give up. The numbers are not there. Just throw in the towel, give up. It's not worth it. And thank God for a praying partner, right? Knowing that.
Well, she's the best. She really is. She really, really is. She's taught me a lot. I've learned a lot from her about that power of just that intercessory prayer and that spontaneous prayer in the moment, and really powerful, really powerful.
Yeah. So knowing that, you know, Penny was like, nope, we're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the towel. Let's pray and ask God to step in. And bam, right after that, power of prayer, registrations start rolling through. And it was validation when you had the event, all the people in the comments that they said about it. And even as you were talking about it, the music, the candlelight, the gift bags, I could picture it. I was visualizing this event and it made me feel good. And it's just a matter of just visualizing that I was never there. And just hearing, you know, about the event based on what you said, it sounded amazing, wonderful, and awesome. So I can imagine the people that actually literally experienced it, how they felt. So I love that high moment. And I love how prayer and how God played a role in that up in your business. So the other side of the coin is downs. Womp, 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 right?
Yeah.
We all have it. It's a part of the process. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. So share a time in business where it was a down moment. Mm-hmm. And how did God play a role or assist in that down moment of your business?
So our down moment, I think, actually ended up bearing a lot of fruit, but we had to go through it, right? So the down moment was at the end of our very first year that we did a whole season, you know, a whole series, a whole season of things. And we sat down and we were like, all right, we are going to plan next year. We have a plan. We are, you know, we know what we're doing. We're going to do all the things. And we did, we planned events for a whole year. just like little things, big things. We were going to do a conference. We were going to do a retreat. We had all of these book studies. We were on fire, Nadine. Like, we had it. And then March 2020 hit. And I was living in DC at the time, and Penny was here in Maryland. So we're about an hour and a half away from one another. And we had to shift. I hate to use the word pivot, but we had to pivot. We had to figure it out. And around that same time, I felt very, as a speaker myself and a writer, I felt very lost. I felt very untethered to, do I even have a voice? Is what I'm doing even worth it? Does it matter? Am I making a difference? Am I being obedient to what the Lord's really calling me to do? So it was sort of this crisis of identity for both Encounter Grace, and it was also for myself, because I also am on the side. I'm a speaker and a writer, and I do things separately from Encounter Grace. So both and. So both of these things were happening at the same time. And it was a low. It was a low for the business, because Penny and I had to really think about, we had to get back to what it was we wanted to do. What was our real mission, right? What was it that God called us to do in the first place? And for us, we based it on the visitation, right? So you bring women of all generations together. You bring women in community and change happens. And so we had to really get back to, how are we now going to be bringing Marys and Elizabeths together, right? And the townspeople and all the things. How do we do that now that we can't be in person? And so we had to really dig deep, and we had to say, okay, it's going to cost us money, but it's also going to cost us a little bit more time to prepare things. And we did. And we, because of that time, even though it was the lowest of the lows, the Lord was so, so faithful and so patient with us, right? And he was so generous with, we had the right things just showed up, right? And then the inspiration, we launched something called the Beloved Series. And that has now become the bulk of what we do now. We offer Bible series, 5 weeks, and we started them online, and we do them in person and all the things. And so from that lowest of the low, we called it our Job moment, right? Like, what are we going to do, Lord? Like, seriously, this is where we are. 'Cause we had a plan. We had a good plan. And he's just so good. He's like, I got you, girl, but guess what? I got something better. So the answer is no to the plan that you had, because I have something better for you. And just trust me on this. So we had to surrender. It was a lot of surrender. And so that was the low, but out of that has come something so beautiful. So it's just great how that works.
Yeah, I love that low moment that you shared, because there's always lessons to learn in the low, right? That's why some people say there's no such thing as failures. It's all lessons that we learn. So we can kind of like turn failures around and say, oh, that was a lesson, instead of saying that was a failure, right? So there's definitely lessons for us to learn. And in that lesson, you know, I mean, who can't relate to 2020 being a low? I mean, March 2020 hit all of us in a big way, and really, as you mentioned, a lot of business owners had to shift, had to pivot. But when you have a business that's about in-person events, I can imagine how you guys were like, man, what do we do now? This is what our business is about. It's these in-person events. And the fact that you're a speaker and you're speaking at in-person events, so you're getting hit at all corners through Encounter Grace Business and through the speaking engagements that you do on your own. And God just kind of was like, trust me in this process, you know, knowing that God is faithful. That is the lesson, no matter what. And I love that you shared that you made a plan, because everyone knows planning is my thing, right? I'm always saying, make sure you have a plan. Make sure you have a plan.
Be proud of me for that.
Actually. I was so proud of you when you mentioned that. I was like, yes, go. Yes, you guys had a 2020 plan. But the lesson, again, the point with the downs, and there's always being a lesson, is that you can make your plans, but I order your steps, is what his word says. I order your steps. So make your plans. Man has, I can't remember the exact scripture. I think it says man plans in their heart, but God orders their steps. And I'm never good at saying where scriptures are. I don't have that gifting, right?
We can look it up later, but yeah, that's so beautiful. And it's so true.
It's so true. But I really admire people that say Matthew 11:29 says, John 10:10 says, and I'm like, I'm not really sure where it is, but I know it says that man plans in their heart, but God orders their steps, right?
Do you know what that was, Nadine? That was your subtle gifting.
Scripture.
Yes. And you, it doesn't matter where it is, it's scripture, and you knew it, and it was you pulled it out and you were like, this is what it was. And I'm like, that was brilliant. Well done. I loved it.
So it was definitely a lesson for you guys to learn. You can have a plan, you can put that plan together, but always remember that God orders your steps, and he's going to say, okay, this is the next step. This is what you're going to do because there is a pandemic. This is what you're going to do because you have to shift and you have to pivot. And the other thing that you said, you brought out, was look what happened during that time, having the beloved Bible study series, which is now one of the best things that you guys offer. I'll put it out there, and I don't even know if that's exactly what you said, but through it, you birthed that series, which is now something that you guys offer and is obviously a blessing in the marketplace. So many good things about the down moments, and that's why I think it's important for us to share, because there are many lessons that we learn, and I think the biggest one is that God is faithful and we can trust him through the good and the bad times. We can trust him. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Business definitely has its ups and downs, but you can discover 3 powerful ways to attract the people you are called to serve in the marketplace so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make. Be sure to text POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. That was POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. So, as you know, we've talked a lot about business, but this podcast is Women Faith Plus Business. So I want to learn a little bit more about your faith journey. I know you've talked about it a little bit about being a cradle Catholic, but I'd love for you to share what that looks like for the audience. You know, what has your faith journey been like, and how did you become a believer? You know, even though it was from childhood, there's still a journey involved in it, right? A lot of times when people talk about being involved in the faith from a young age, they have like a rebellious stage or something that they went through. So I'd love for you to share, what has your faith journey been like?
Sure. So, like I said, cradle Catholic. So was baptized, and received the sacraments. I remember vividly in first grade. So what's that, 6 or 7? And I was going through CCD classes. So for those that aren't familiar with it, it's like Sunday school. And it's a program that you go through, and you go every year, and all the, and then they prepare you for the sacraments and to live, live out your faith. So I remember in first grade, I was in this, it was in the winter time, and I had, the teacher's name was Mr. Joe. I don't even know where he is now, but God bless him, because he changed my life. And we were in this classroom, and it was cold outside, and we were all in our coats because they never turn the heat on in the schools. So whatever. And he was talking about, we were learning the Our Father. We were learning that prayer. And he said, so now he goes, we're going to invite Jesus into our hearts. And I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I'm a very literal person. So I'm like, I don't get this. Like, where is he? I don't see him. I see a picture, but in my little mind, I'm like, I'm looking for this man, and like, how's he going to get in my heart? And so Mr. Joe is like, now listen, it's, if you just like close your eyes and you just think of like your favorite thing on the earth, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's a blanket, your teddy bear, whatever. And you're just holding that in that feeling. That's Jesus. He's like, and then just let Jesus, like, just let him into your heart. And I am telling you, like, I'm getting goosebumps telling the story again, because I started to cry as I had that feeling of Jesus literally coming into my heart. And there's a space in that, in my heart, that only he can fill. Right. And that's been there. I can't explain it better than that, but it is, it's a thing. And so I always loved Mass. So we, Sunday Mass is something that we would do as a family. And then at some point, my parents sort of stopped going to church. I'm not sure, they still really wouldn't talk about it. I don't think anything untoward happened. It wasn't like that, but they just sort of fell away. But I loved Mass. I love the smells. I love the bells. I love the reverence. I love the music, all of the kinds of music. Like, I love it all. It's just what makes me feel very connected in a way. And so my parents would take me to church. They'd drop me off and then they'd come back for me an hour later. So I would go to Mass by myself. And I did that for years. And then when I could drive myself, I would still go on Sundays. But you know, in our house, we were sort of like, my mom and dad would go to church Easter and Christmas. Like, they would at least do that. We didn't really talk about the faith at all in our house. I think I was in my late 40s before I knew that my mother prayed the rosary every day. So a devotion to Mary. I had no idea. I never knew she prayed the rosary because she never talked about it. They were very private about their faith. I knew they believed in God, but didn't really talk about God. We didn't have those deep conversations. So I went to high school, and I went to public school K through 12. And you know, there were pockets of Catholics, but most people were non-denominational Christians. So it was kind of hard for me to find some common ground. We thought we actually have way more in common than we allowed ourselves to believe at the time. So I went to college and I went to a Catholic university. So I went to the University of Scranton. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be surrounded by people that are going to love to go to Mass and are going to do all these things. And yeah, no, didn't happen. Like, I never got hooked in with that group. And I actually sort of took Mass for granted. And I was like, oh, I'll go next week, or I'll go the week after, or the week after. And so I didn't really practice my faith very much, still faithful, still loved God and loved everything about it, but just wasn't going to Mass and not getting fed spiritually. It wasn't a rebellious stage so much as it's almost like sometimes you have to go away for a little while so you don't go away forever. That's how I sort of term that time. But the good Lord saw fit to give me roommates my senior year who were really devout Catholic Christian women and who went to church, went to Mass, did the things. And so sort of pulled me back into the fold to say, come on, this is where you belong. Like, come on back to church. You will feel better if you go to church. And I did. And then it just sort of grew from there. When we had children, we knew that we wanted to put them in Catholic school. So we worked really hard to make that happen. I worked two jobs. My husband worked a job and a half, and we just made the sacrifices for that to happen. And because they were in Catholic school, we went back to church as a family. And so I sort of fell in love with Mass all over again. As a mom, understanding that I was gifted these three beautiful souls, and that they were mine to shepherd, like, let's go, like, to co-create with God and to give them the best life that we could, with Christ at the center. We fell short so many times, you know, wasn't perfect. Like I said, it's chaotic sometimes. It's very messy sometimes. But when I became a Catholic educator is when I feel like I sort of got into more of the behind the scenes, like more of the devotions that we do. We have adoration, to pray the rosary more often. I had to learn to pray out loud with strangers. And that was really frightening to me because all I had known was the Our Father that we say, you know, at church. So really all of those places that God put me, it was, I think, to lead me to here today, if I'm being perfectly honest. Now that I'm my own business owner, I set my own schedule. And so my spiritual plan for the day is based on all of those places where I felt like there was a need growing up and coming into adulthood. So I pray every morning. And I read the daily readings. So I'm, you know, in scripture a lot with that. Whenever I write, before I do that, I lean on all of that, you know, all of the gospel readings and the, you know, just all of the stuff in the Bible that, that just speaks to my heart, inviting Holy Spirit into the conversation for sure. And I just, I try to live my life now being spirit led. You know, what is it that, where do you want me, Lord? Like, what is it that you've got planned for me? A few years ago, I think what really changed my faith journey to in a different way, like it shifted it a little bit to this idea of being spirit led, is my prayer when I wake up every morning is, Lord, how are you going to surprise me today? How will you surprise me? And so it's that idea of just being open to his will, and then to understand what obedience is, to living out what his will is. It's not, obedience doesn't mean that you surrender yourself, like all of your ego. It's actually like you surrender to what he has planned for you, and that you're going to use the gifts and talents that he's given you. So all of that has been the culmination, like that, to get to that point today has been all of that journey of just this discovery, and allowing myself to be open to what God has planned. That's how I live my life. My sitting here today, I remember when we took our first phone call, that was sort of, you know, God put that in my path in an unexpected way. And I'm like, he's like, here's your surprise for today. And you were a beautiful surprise, Nadine, in the best way.
Yeah.
That's a very long-winded answer, but yeah, that's my journey. That's how I'm here today.
Yeah, so many aspects of your journey I enjoyed as you shared, starting out with the, I don't get it, right? The six-year-old child in you was like, I don't get it. You can say that Jesus in your heart, but I don't see it. I don't get it. But realizing and understanding and knowing that really he occupies a space in your heart that only he can occupy. I love that you shared that part. And that your journey was kind of just like, there was a moment in your life where you weren't exactly walking by faith, but you didn't move away from the faith, and you just needed people to guide you back to the faith. And I thought it was very interesting that it wasn't in your household as far as like you were dropped off to mass. I could actually relate to that because I grew up, and I still am, Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and my parents did not go to church every Sabbath. You know, I went with my aunt and my uncle, and I think it was kind of freedom for them. They're like, yay, the kids are gone to church. You know, so not having that in your household, but having such a strong belief system that you want to go by yourself and being dropped off is definitely powerful. So I love a lot of the aspects that you talked about on your faith journey, and knowing that surrendering our will and our way to God's will and God's way is what he desires for us. You know, ultimately that's what he desires for us. He desires the best for us. So it's not like we're losing something when we surrender. And it's like, I love a picture that I've always seen on the internet where it's a little girl with a little tiny teddy bear, and she's like, I don't want to give up this little teddy bear. And then the guy depicted as Jesus has this huge, massive teddy bear behind his back. And he's just basically saying, just surrender this, because I have something so much better for you behind my back. So trusting and believing that we can surrender our will and our way, and knowing and understanding that God has something so much bigger and better for us when we do surrender. So I love that you shared that in your faith journey, and I could definitely relate to it. So one of the key things that I like to ask on the podcast is one of kind of like my signature questions, since this podcast is about faith and also about business. How would you define the power of faith?
Wow, that's a great question. The power of faith, in my experience, is that it is just the centering of all that I do. So I cannot do what I am called to do unless I have that faith, unless I have that trust in that God is, number one, he is who he says he is, right? Like I, you know, calling out Martha all the time about that, like, Lord, you are who you say you are. So having that faith and believing that he is who he says he is, I have that lived experience of when I have surrendered, he has given me in abundance everything that I need, everything that I need. So I, you know, in a business model, especially, there's so much that you, that is out of your control, right? You don't, the marketplace, the who your customers will be, what the laws are, what the finance laws are. I mean, all of those aspects that go into a business, right? So much of it is out of your control. And I know that when I have asked the Lord, stepping out in deep faith to say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know that you're going to send me exactly who I need and what I need when I need it. And Nadine, as sure as I'm sitting here today, that has been my experience in every situation, in every aspect of my career that I've had, whether it's been in the school systems or whether it's been in this owning my own small business. When I surrender that in deep faith, I step out in that faith, the Lord says, I got you. And you know, and he just does, and he has never let me down. And so I think we have to understand that there are, that we can't do this alone. We have to have Christ at the center of everything that we do, because otherwise we're on our own. And, you know, we are such imperfect people, right? Humans are messy. We just are. I use that word a lot today. I get that. But we really are, like, there's a messiness about us. There's a fragility about us, and we have to find that centering point. And so for me, faith is it. It's what I have to do. It's what I have to live. It's what I hope to breathe in and out. Because without it, I can't do anything. I can't. It's the center. Yeah.
I love that. It is the center of everything. And knowing that when you do step out, the power of faith is knowing that God has you, right? God has you. So he's the center of everything. And when you step out in faith, God has your back. He has you. Love that definition of the power of faith. So the last question is, how would you define the power of business?
Wow. I think the power of business is this idea of stepping into your giftedness and using it for the betterment of the world. That sounds a little Miss Universe. I get it. Or Miss America pageant answer. I want world peace. I really do. But that's
It's a good answer. It really is.
But I think the idea of business, right, is it's an opportunity for each one of us to really use the gifts and talents that God has given us in a way that glorifies him. And we do that every time we are successful, whether, you know, when we are obedient to what he's called us to do, if we're walking in the gospel, right? That's how we live our life. That's how we do everything. That's our starting point. In business, I think the power of a business also is that it gives back to the community. It helps a community to stay connected, to thrive, to grow. It provides economic stability to people that might not otherwise have that. And that's so important. That is so important. I mean, to meet the basic needs, right? So you're fulfilling all of God's, you know, taking care of your neighbor, loving your neighbor. You know, you can do that in business. That is the power of a business. You have that opportunity to do that. So I hope that's a shift in thinking for some people when they're looking at what they do day in and day out. Does it really matter that I'm making cupcakes? Yeah, absolutely. It matters that you're making cupcakes. Absolutely. It matters that you have a home cleaning business and that you are providing like amazing support for a family that maybe this is something that's really important to them. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what your business is. That's a way of giving back to your community.
Yeah, I love that you said using your gifts, your talents to help the world and help your community is what a business does. It really is a vessel that God uses to help the world and the community. So I love that. So this has been an awesome conversation, Laura. I've enjoyed every bit of this conversation. If somebody wants to know a little bit more about you or Encounter Grace, what would be the best way for them to connect with you?
Absolutely. So you can find me at encountergrace.co. And my personal website, if you want to look at what I offer in terms of speaking availability, you can find me at laura@laurakroland.org. We're on Facebook and Instagram, so you can find us there as well. And Nadine, can I just say, what a joy it is to be with you. We've had a couple of conversations and I just leave feeling so uplifted and really you have such a unique gift in helping women to feel seen. So I just want to validate that for you and to honor that in you. It's a really beautiful way that you have in conversation and dialogue. And I just appreciate your graciousness. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Laura. Thank you so much. And definitely check out Laura's website and Encounter Grace and connect with her. She's an awesome woman doing amazing things in the world. So definitely connect with her. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Laura.
Oh, thanks, Nadine. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thank you for listening to the Women Faith Plus Business podcast. I hope this episode has not just given you information you can use, but was insightful and inspirational. Wherever you are listening, be sure to subscribe to get the next episode or go to womenfaithandbusiness.com to join our email list. Plus, if you would like to discover 3 powerful ways to attract the people you are called to serve in the marketplace so you can make the impact, influence, and income you were born to make, be sure to text POWERFUL to 404-982-4736. That's 404-982-4736. 4736.